I owed the IRS $10,000.
The IRS garnished my wages.
They put a lien on my house.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency in the world. They do not give up until you pay.
I couldn't sleep. We were being audited. I called Tax Solutions Now, and a great big weight was lifted off my shoulders.
I called Tax Solutions Now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Tax Solutions Now had my wage garnishment lifted in 48 hours.
Tax Solutions Now can get you help. Our agents know the rules, can stop the pain, and get you the best deal. We connect you with a team of former IRS agents and tax professionals who will get the IRS off your back.
We saved our home and overcame the most powerful collection agency in the world.
Call Tax Solutions Now. Time is running out.
Call 800-910-9962. 800-910-9962. 800-910-9962. 800-910-9962.
Welcome into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline, the interactive radio network program with the latest in high-tech products and services and the experts who bring them to you. This is Into Tomorrow. Here's Dave Graveline.
It's the weekend of March 1st, 2019. We always use the Friday dates going into the weekend, where you're tuned to your GasX for Tech. Into Tomorrow, and we're thrilled that you have joined us. Or maybe you consider us your technology auditory gem. Either way, we're here every week, 3 hours of the broadcast. In the event your local station is unable to carry all 3 hours, stuff happens, we understand, then we invite you to subscribe to our free podcasts. We've been calling them podcasts long before they were even called podcasts, when we used to just archive our show and allow you to download it anytime and not miss a minute of it. I am Dave Graveline, by the way. In the control room is Erasmo Horatio, working with us out of New York. I think you made me forget to mention H last hour. So
we may have. Sorry, H.
Yeah, H is always listening. Sorry, H. But we're glad to have you if you like to be had.
Love you, H.
Love you, H. Exactly.
Dave did it, not me.
Yeah. No, it was Fausto's fault.
Fausto's fault. Yes, that's today. Today, all Fausto's fault.
Everything before the show is Fausto's fault, yep. So it is. And that voice you hear from none other than Naples, Florida, coming over to join us on the East Coast.
Beth Gatrell.
Chris Graveline.
Here in our Miami studios. Yes. I think I said Erasmo in the control room. Did I say H in New York?
Yeah. You did.
All right. Well, there you go. Got everybody covered. Did I say who I was?
I don't know.
Oh. Some guy that was born a long time ago this week.
Yeah. Wasn't that long ago. Of course, the fact that you guys are older than dirt probably makes me very old.
I am young. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, and you know, just since I like making you feel really old, I did some research about the year you were born.
Oh,
my
boy.
Gosh.
What was milk, so, like 2 cents a gallon?
Some interesting inventions or tidbits. First, the year you were born, cavemen chiseled the first wheel.
Oh, my God.
Okay, well, maybe not that old. But probably the most notable event was the first color TV sets going on sale, which is true.
Yeah, I remember watching them right out of the womb. It's like, hey, Mom, I like that show. What is that? Gunsmoke or something. I don't remember.
That year, you'd find about 3,000 radio stations and 349 TV stations. Of course, many more than that today.
Wow.
Some other notable inventions from the same year you were invented. The first nonstick pan.
I'm glad that we share the same birthday.
Texas Instruments released the first transistor radio.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Also, the radar gun to detect speed of objects was invented.
Oh.
And just for fun, the average home price that year was $10,000.
Wow.
A new car would have cost you about $1,700, and gas for that new car, 22 cents per gallon.
Oh, my gosh. That's painful.
Feel old yet?
I feel dead. Holy moly. That was all in 1872?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty close.
Well, you've entertained Erasmo. Stop laughing in the control room. Knock it off.
That was just a really long way to say happy birthday.
Oh, my gosh. Well, thanks. I think. Oh, my word. Tech news and commentary, if we can possibly get through it. What have you got?
Days after Samsung revealed its new Galaxy Watch Active, the company's third-party developers now appear to have copied their downloadable smartwatch faces from Swiss watchmaker Swatch. Swatch filed a $100 million lawsuit, and the company's complaint is filled with images of watches that appear to be dead ringers for watch faces you can buy on the Samsung Gear Sport, Gear S3 Classic, and Frontier. Swatch claims that over 30 of Samsung's watch faces were identical or virtually identical to trademarks that it already owned. The complaint accuses Samsung of unfair business practices and that the copied designs will mislead customers to believe that Samsung and Swatch had a deal going on.
Is Swatch still in existence?
I was going to say, wow, Swatch. That's
setting us back.
Well, that's why they're filing a $100 million lawsuit. Guys, that's how they're trying to make their money.
Yeah, exactly. We've got four stores in the whole country, and we're going to just sue Samsung.
Well, of course, the watch faces are designed by third-party developers, although Samsung still pockets a portion of the revenue, which is apparently why they're suing Samsung.
Mm. Oh,
although
gotcha.
They really should be going after those third-party developers.
Yeah, Samsung's richer.
Yeah, that's exactly.
That's true.
Go for the deeper pockets. Yeah. And Samsung's making them available on their app to put on the various gear devices and their smart watches. So that's why the people are saying, you should know that there was copyright infringement. How are they going to know that? But I guess that's what Swatch is trying to suggest.
Yeah.
Interesting. So I better hurry up and get some more gear faces on my watch before they're gone.
You should.
You should.
I should grab some. There's a whole bunch for free.
I still have my Swatches. Huh.
You still have a Swatch?
I wish. I had a bunch.
Oh. Not to be confused with Sasquatch. That's a different watch company.
Speaking of lawsuits, Epic Games is in hot water again for Fortnite fun. Surprise. Mm-hmm. There's two University of Maryland basketball players, or I should say former basketball players, are suing them over their Running Man dance. The basketball players say that they came up with that dance, and Epic Games is copying them in the Fortnite game.
Isn't this the same thing that this moron from America's Funniest Videos or something claimed he had a dance from some old sitcom?
Alfonso Ribeiro from the dance that he did in Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Not anything I watched, but okay, so on Fresh Prince, he did some kind of a goofy dance.
He did.
And then Fortnite allegedly duplicated the dance in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So he's suing them for that. And now there's others?
Yeah, they get sued probably every other day, but
but they're making a killing, mind you.
That they are.
Fortnite is
they're getting a lot of money from my kids, too.
Oh, boy.
So. But the original complaint accuses Epic of copyright infringement and violating the player's publicity rights, arguing that the publisher has consistently sought to exploit African-American talent, in particular with their Fortnite game, by copying dance moves.
Wow.
Well, of course, the whole subject is controversial because they're saying that dance moves really can only be copyrighted if they're, quote, sufficiently complex.
Oh, so these are like just kind of like little squirming around or something? Yeah. Or?
Well, you know, and even if a dance could be copyrighted, it's not always clear who holds those rights. Because the U.S. Copyright Office suggested that in the case of Alfonso Ribeiro, that those dance moves, if they're copyrightable, would probably be owned by the studio, not by him anyway.
Exactly.
Oh, that's true because they owned the show.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
They're just sued for everything. They have characters that can do the little heart with their hands. You know how kids do that?
Yeah.
The
so what? Is somebody going to claim that they
whoever
did that first?
Whoever started putting your hands in the form of a heart first might start suing.
Go them. After them. Sue Fortnite. But what is Fortnite isn't a game about dances, is it?
No.
Isn't it like
but while they're waiting for their players to connect, they can dance. Or as I see my daughter, she's playing the game with her boyfriend when he's at his house. He, you know, dances to her throws the little heart hands. And so, you know, it's something they do while they're waiting for their tournaments to start, I guess.
OMG.
So, you see, what about if they consider doing homework while they're waiting or something?
That wouldn't be quite as much fun.
I guess not. Gosh. 2 months ago, Virgin Galactic's Spaceship Two rocket plane became the first U.S. plane to reach the edge of space since America's shuttle program ended in 2011. That's a while ago. You know, I want to believe it was just a couple of years ago, but that's been some time. Well, that flight only included the pilots. Well, the latest trip marked Virgin's first trip to space with an actual passenger, bringing the ultimate goal of a substantial space tourism business closer to reality. But last I heard, it's going to cost about $500,000 fly to the edge of space and right back down again. A couple of minutes.
That's pocket change.
Yeah.
Yeah, no problem.
Jeff Bozo can afford that. I think he should give us all one of those trips.
I think so.
Sounds great.
I'd like to go to the edge of space and, you know, in the Vomit Comet even would be good. But this is kind of a cool thing to do. Mm-hmm. So good luck to Virgin Atlantic. Yeah. Or Virgin Galactic, I'm sorry. Different. It's the same owner, but one of their many divisions.
Good luck, Richard.
Yeah, there you go. Either way, he's covered.
Tesla Motors sent a software update to its cars that activates two new modes, Sentry Mode and Dog Mode. One protects against thieves, and the other protects against judgmental passersby. Sentry mode uses the cameras and sensors throughout the vehicle to discourage would-be thieves or anyone from getting too close. If a car's cameras and accelerometers detect someone leaning on a car, for example, the car's center information screen will display in font big enough for the knucklehead to see a message that the cameras are recording.
Well, that's right. They do have that big tablet. Gigantic thing on their dashboard.
Sized iPad.
Yeah, it does.
Now, when activated, the dog mode keeps the climate control on while the main screen displays a message saying, "My owner will be back soon. Don't worry, the AC is on and it's 70 degrees, or whatever temperature the owner sets."
That's obviously when you leave a dog in the car, correct. Which you shouldn't do anyway, let's face it. But if you do... Right.
But this mode apparently leaves the temperature control, leaves the air conditioning or heat, depending on where you are, on in the vehicle so the dogs stay safe.
Okay.
Now, if leaving the temperature on that setting pushes the battery level below 20%, the owner will get a push notification on their phone to come and take action.
Well, that's good.
Won't spontaneously combust, will they, like the one I heard about in Davie last week?
Well, those are generally ones that were...
Not the dog. The dog?
The car.
Oh, yeah, that's different. And that was also speed-related, just like another one in Fort Lauderdale that killed two high school kids. Speed-related.
Hmm.
And, yeah, the car's a big battery.
Yeah.
And they explode on impact.
And they can continue to combust for a week or more.
Yeah, they towed it to the tow yard, and 24 hours later, it caught fire again.
Didn't hear that.
Yeah,
wow.
Just sitting in the tow yard. I had to call the fire department. The car caught fire again. To me, that suggests the Davie Fire Department didn't put it out all the way. But,
if there's still a charge in those batteries and a crash causes them to short out, that right there, it can generate heat.
And that's true.
Eventually it gets hot enough to where it'll just...
Yeah, it's not really much.
That's
the fire department.
I'm not going to buy a Tesla. I was going to go this week, but...
Right.
I was going to go buy one this week, and then I realized I don't have any money.
There you go. That's good. That's reason enough.
I have plenty to buy it. I just don't want to because it might explode.
Well, that's right.
Excuse me. Beth lives in Naples.
That's right.
You have to say with your nose in the air.
But see, I remember that I work in radio, and you know we can't generally... drive Teslas.
Yeah, that's why you decided.
unless it's when I'm parking them down at the museum on a Friday night. You know,
there you go.
For the valet.
Is that your weekend job?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. All righty.
Well, let's talk about Florida for a little bit.
We have been.
Is this another Florida story?
Well, because they don't allow officers to pull people over for using their phone.
And I wish they did.
I know.
It's coming.
Okay, but sort of. Again, as a former Miami-Dade police officer, I got to tell you that they do, but it's a secondary effect.
Exactly. You're pulled over for something else first, but let's face it, they're pulling you over because they saw that phone in your hand.
Well, yes. I mean, it's easy to understand that, okay, first of all, improper lane change. There you go. Whoop, whoop. And you were on the phone. You were holding the phone, and that's illegal. But they first have to say... they pulled you over for some other reason. Seatbelt violation or, you didn't signal or you cruised through that stop sign or red light a little too fast or something of that sort.
Well, there's lots of talk that's about to change. And if the phone is in your hand, whether you're using it or not, you can be pulled over and get a pretty hefty ticket, which is even more than they're already giving now.
Good.
I think that's great. However, petting your dog while you're driving, I don't think is great, but... They're gonna give you a ticket for that. They're trying to work on as well.
In the state?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, it's a good thing I don't have a dog, but still. And you know what? I think people are as distracted with a dog in their lap, or another person for that matter, whatever.
I agree.
But petting your dog or your cat with one hand and only one hand on the wheel and looking down at it and talking to it and so forth can be just as distracting as holding a phone to your ear, even with your eyes on the road.
I do agree, and it is kind of crazy, but people put on their makeup while they're driving.
Oh,
they read the paper while they're driving. They're grabbing stuff from the back seats. Where do you draw the line,
Eating.
I guess we're supposed to just drive when we're driving. But...
Well, there's a thought.
But definitely, you might want to watch using your phone while you're driving, because again, Florida is only one of four states that don't pull you over just for having that phone.
So the rest of the country?
The rest of the country will pull you over if they see a phone in your hand, whether you're using it or not.
Well, I think we need to change that here in Florida.
I mean, and anybody who's driven, especially in South Florida, knows that driving here is not the best.
This time of year.
On a daily basis, I've paid attention. Anytime I've encountered someone who's not paying attention or almost changes lanes into me, as I'm passing them, I look. they almost always have a phone in their hand.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I was driving by, I drove past somebody the other day that driving down the street 35, 40 miles an hour, and they've got an iPad they're reading something off of.
Oh, geez.
They're holding the iPad against the steering wheel, reading as they're driving.
You know, so unsafe.
Very much so.
I know none of our listeners would do that because they're all smart people and cautious and careful and caring and safe.
I mean,
but I know they all know somebody who would.
Yeah, I drove by another person a few weeks ago, or a couple months ago, that had their phone on a suction cup mount on the windshield, which I figured, okay, that's safe. It's hands-free. But I drove by. They got a video playing on the phone as they're driving.
Or they could be doing what...
Now, that is illegal in most states. Certainly here in Florida, you can't be distracted with a video.
They could be doing what I've yelled at my kids for doing in... They FaceTime while they're driving.
Oh.
Not even talking, just so they could be interacting and seeing each other. And well, big no-no, kids.
That's right. Also, very unsafe. Not a good idea.
So if you're a parent, you have a kid who's behind the wheel, make sure that their do not disturb option is on their phone. So, you know, phones like the iPhone can do it automatically if they sense that someone's in a car.
Mm-hmm. And parents, be strict with your kids, especially if they're new driving age teens or even older teens that have been driving for a while. You know, they might be upset with you now for being so strict with them, but when
if familiar with your parental controls, you can go online to most carriers at any time and disable the phone and reactivate it as many times as you want. Mm-hmm. So when you know your kid's getting out of school, turn the phone off till you know they get home.
Ay, ay, ay. Vincent in Detroit, Michigan, listens on AM 800 CKLW. Hello, Vincent.
More and more these days, they're making cars without CD players. So I have a new Jaguar F-Pace, and it doesn't come with a CD player, but I have some CDs that I would still like to play in my vehicle. So what would be the best options for playing your CDs in vehicles now that don't have CD players, but have a plug that you can plug an MP3 player in and things like that?
Well, Vincent, that's a great question. And, of course, we talked last hour as well about how most computers don't come with an optical drive of any sort either. But where are you buying CDs these days? Those things must be getting very hard to find by now.
Target, you can find them.
Really? They sell CDs?
They do, actually.
Holy moly.
But since you have that aux plug, you can just connect a portable CD player to it. And surprisingly enough, they're relatively easy to find and relatively inexpensive. You can find them at places like Best Buy and, of course, Target. I think that might be my favorite store.
You think?
And some models don't even reach $20.
Whoa.
Just plug them in with a standard stereo cable and you should be all set, probably for under $25.
Now, of course, you probably won't be able to control it with your car radio or any controls that you may have built into your steering wheel. So you might be better off joining the present and converting your music to some digital format that can be stored on your phone or a USB device of some sort. Bluetooth and USB inputs can both be controlled by most car radios, and just about any USB device or phone can hold much more music than a CD. So you won't be needing to change them all the time.
Yeah, let us know what works out best for you. I remember what Beth said about you're not going to be able to control it easily from an external player. So you don't want to be dangerous in terms of driving and trying to reach down and fast forward or rewind, or I don't like that track, move to the next one. Don't fumble around with it. Yeah, convert them to digital and then play it through your aux that way. Let us know what you end up doing, and your question is awesome, helps a lot of people, I think. All the way into tomorrow.com.
In today's connected world, high-speed internet is a necessity. Luckily, where you live no longer means missing out on a fast connection. Do what we did and get HughesNet, America's number one choice for satellite internet. HughesNet Gen 5 delivers the speed you need where you live. Own a business? HughesNet has plans for you, too. Text RADIO to 35,000 for offers in your area. That's RADIO to 35,000. HughesNet, high-speed satellite internet available where you live and work.
Into Tomorrow continues. I'm Dave Graveline. Echo Bay was almost the name of eBay, but the domain name EchoBay.com was already registered by a mining company. Founder Pierre Omidyar simply shortened the Echo Bay term to eBay.com. And see, I always thought that was E was like for electronics or something, because I think
e-commerce.
That's...
E-commerce.
Or even e-commerce, of course. But nope, it was for Echo Bay.
Very interesting.
Yeah, eBay.com. Another tidbit of tech information from your favorite tech show, us, here at Into Tomorrow. I'm Dave Graveline.
I'm Beth Gatrell.
I'm Chris Graveline. Stay tuned, because coming up in a few minutes will be the interview that we talked about last hour with Michael Fisher, a.k.a. Mr. Mobile. He's going to be talking about some of the announcements and news out of Mobile World Congress in Barcelona.
There you go. Nothing like a real phishing scam experience to pass on the danger of clicking a link in an email. To tell you how he was hooked, here's Ken Higgins with OWC.
Phishing emails are getting very sophisticated and can really fool you. Recently, I fell victim, and so can you if you're not careful. In this case, the email was sent to me was from one of my customers, and embedded was a link to download a file. I actually replied to the email asking if the link was legit, and I got back up a reply saying it was. I clicked the link. Nothing happened. I was scammed. Well, days later, 600 emails were sent out from me asking them to click the same link. In the future, I'll either text or call the sender to make sure it is legit before I click. You just can't trust email. And now, back to you, Dave.
Well, thank you, Ken. If in doubt, check it out. Always a safe thing. Don't open links you don't know what they are. Verify them or somehow otherwise, because it can happen.
Exactly. Make sure your kids know not to.
That's also true, especially the younger ones who think that, oh, that's what you do. You click here and that. No. If it's not appropriate. OWC.com/into.
The national debt is now over $20 trillion. What's next? Rising inflation, drops in the dollar's value. Some experts say another crash is coming. What will be left of your investments for your children and grandchildren? We know you can fight this, not with stocks or bonds, but with gold and silver coins and an IRA from Augusta Precious Metals. During periods of great volatility, precious metals regularly outperform stocks because they're a true wealth asset that have real value. During the three-year recovery period after the crash of 08, the Dow only went up 3.5%, while gold more than doubled in price. Call 855-662-6533 and learn how an IRA backed by physical gold and silver can hedge against inflation and build a true legacy for your family. Regain control of your financial destiny and call Augusta Precious Metals at 855-662-6533. That's 855-662-6533. As in any investment, the price of gold and silver may fluctuate over time and you could lose money. Check with financial and legal advisors.
Nothing is as constant as change, and that certainly describes the tech world that we live in. Well, we at Into Tomorrow are here to help. I'm Dave Graveline, our 24th year bringing you further Into Tomorrow, and we want to hear from you. If you ever have any questions at all, any digital dilemma, any consumer tech issues we can help solve for you, call us anytime, day or night, 24/7, 800-899-4686. 800-899-INTO will get you on the next broadcast and address your concerns. Always a pleasure to have our next guest with us. He creates quality tech review videos for the discerning gadget enthusiast, if you will. And coming to us from Mobile World Congress in Barcelona, Spain, is Mr. Mobile, Michael Fisher. Michael, welcome back Into Tomorrow. How are you?
Dave, thank you for having me, and I'm fantastic. Every time I hear you read my little tagline there, it doesn't sound better coming out of anyone else's mouth, but thank you so much.
It's my pleasure. One day we'll have to do a pre-record piece as an intro for some of your pieces, and then I'll be honored to be involved there.
I love it.
Now, a lot of news. As you and I speak, this is the end of the first day in Barcelona at Mobile World Congress, an annual event that for years we attended, and hopefully we'll get back there again sometime, maybe next year. But in the meantime, I couldn't think of someone more interesting and excited about new announcements than you.
Oh, yeah.
And getting your Mr. Mobile perspective on things. I mean, there's so much to talk about, but let's right out of the box, foldable phones. Are we all going to have them soon?
Oh, I love that. It's perfect timing because I've just come from my first hands-on with a foldable phone of any kind. Within the hour, I've had my hands on one of these, and I think it's going to be quite a while, to answer your question, before the average person is able to enjoy a foldable phone. But I am excited enough in this moment about them that I think when that day comes, people are going to be glad that they are here.
Really? Now, of course, the biggest news, I guess, pre-Mobile World Congress was Samsung announcing their Galaxy Fold, but the darn thing's almost $2,000. I mean, we got to get real here.
No doubt. But, you know, when you have this many, and I'm not just defending Samsung here. You know, we have Huawei, we have Oppo, there's Royola, a bunch of companies are developing these things, and they're all quite expensive. And, you know, a lot of these companies like to boast that they spend so-and-so, however many billion dollars a year in R&D. Well, a lot of that is going into devices like this. There's so much engineering involved in making a display that is flexible, that'll bend without breaking, a hinge that can survive all of those, you know, the constant unfoldings and unfoldings, all of the surrounding tech to accommodate that, that I'm really not surprised at all at the prices on these things.
Well, people are calling these foldable phones, though, a cruel tease, because how realistic is it going to be whether or not, and like anything else, I mean, we've covered tech, as you know, for 24 years on the air, and early adopters always pay higher because we tend to be the ones to pay for that R&D, that research and development. And then after a while, version two of something comes out, then the first one is certainly much more affordable. Obviously, will be the case with foldable phones as well. But realistically, is this something that you think a lot of people are going to say, gotta have this, and I'll save up, I'll second mortgage the house, for whatever I gotta do?
So I think that the early adopters are always going to be there for something like this. It's flashy, it's new, it feels, having just come from a hands-on, as I say, with the Huawei Mate X, you know, it's something, there's something so exciting about using a smartphone that's not a traditional monoblock rectangle. So, yeah, the early adopters are going to pay new car prices for this kind of stuff, or used car prices. Yeah. But I think, you know, I think it is quite reasonable to expect it to come down. I have a distinct memory of buying my first smartphone at $700 and, you know, handing over the credit card to something I will always remember in 2006. I think 2 years later, in 2008, you could get a smartphone on contract for $99 that did much the same stuff. So I really do expect that if these are embraced by the mainstream, the price will come down not in short order, but, you know, in a couple generations.
And Michael, one of the things we've been talking about on the show recently is I think it's very sad that we're now talking about an affordable phone costing $750. And it's like, at what point did that become affordable? You know, for most people, it's like, no. $200 or $300 is affordable. $750, right. Well, because we're spending $1,000 or $1,200 or, in this case, $1,900 if we want that kind of a phone. So I guess, looking at it in perspective, $750 is affordable.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, and there is stuff under $750, right? We've got OnePlus at the $550 market. And if you don't want to hit that, you've got, if you live in certain countries, the Xiaomi with their Poco phone and Motorola with the Moto G line. You know, there's stuff downrange that's really good.
Oh, for sure. And certainly should be looked at and considered, as we've recommended on the air as well. And then one of the things you mentioned, the Huawei Mate X, number one, I'm glad that they're not calling it the Mate 10. It's like, well, you know, Apple X, but no, people are saying X. No, it's 10. Well, then Huawei must be the Mate 10. No, it's X. It's like, oh, my gosh, you people. At least they've not copied Apple in that sense. But what is your take, especially being there in Barcelona with this big event, on Huawei and some of the concerns and spying and governments like the U.S. saying, you know, they're not buying Huawei equipment and don't recommend that we do and all that? What have you heard about that sort of thing?
Well, at MWC, I have heard precisely zero about that, and there's a really good reason for that. Every single time we have a briefing on a new Huawei piece of equipment, it's made very clear that the only people they've made available for us from a PR perspective are going to be able to answer product questions and nothing else. So it's very clear they don't want to talk about it. I think, though, that as I'm a product-focused guy, that's sort of in line with what I tend to need from a coverage standpoint. I think some other folks are having some interviews that, you know, that conversation never gets far from the front page. I think in the United States, it's a network perspective thing. You know, Huawei as a network infrastructure provider, and the relations with the U.S. and China being as they are, I think it makes a lot of sense that this is happening, that the U.S. is saying, well, we don't want Huawei participating in our network infrastructure build out for 5G. On the handset side, I think it's I think it's an open question. I will say that I use Huawei phones all the time in the course of reviewing them, and I seldom, you know, take pause. But
yeah, you don't feel that Beijing is over your shoulder the whole time.
You know, there's a little false equivalency here, and I'll take that hit, but no more than I feel that Google is over my shoulder all the time because it's, you know, Google is actively trying to sell me better ads, right?
Yeah, good point. Exactly. So it's a whole different thing. Of course, now we're talking the possibility in some people's minds of national security versus just lack of privacy. But again, and I agree with you 100% about, you know, just like us, we cover products and we talk about, you know, technology, and, you know, we don't cover finances for companies and stock prices and that's sort of
right.
thing, but we also can't ignore, you know, when so much major news comes out about any company or any product or service that is getting uh-huh. attention that may end up being somewhat negative, but that's kind of the gist of the biz. So
no, you're absolutely right. You know, I don't like to whitewash it or anything like that, and I certainly don't want to toss under the rug under the statement of like, well, I just focus on the products, because of course a big part of the product story is it safe? Should you feel safe using it? But at this point, you know, I think there's not enough real evidence out there, or at least evidence that's been released, that any of these consumer level handheld products are any less safe than you know, a bunch of others you can buy from China or elsewhere. So.
Sure. No, great point, and I agree with you there by all means. How many cameras on a phone is enough? Because that's something else coming out of Mobile World Congress. I mean, there's one phone I saw has, what, 5 or 6 cameras on the back. It's like, okay, I get it. You want to do some nice stuff and maybe 3D-ish things or just some interesting selfies or what have you. But my gosh, I mean, one of them, I can't remember the manufacturer now. I'm sure you do. But what, 5 cameras and they're all 12 megapixel each. The Nokia, right. New Nokia.
Right.
It's like,
the Nokia 9.
Wow.
Deceptively named, because it does have, you're right, there are 5 cameras on the back, not 9, but you know, 5 is enough. But what's fascinating about this to me, though, is it's not just that many manufacturers are building phones with many cameras. It's that they're all doing it for different reasons. You have Samsung, say, for example, including a third camera on its phones now for ultra wide angle. And that, you know, that sits alongside the standard camera and then a special one for telephoto. But Nokia is doing something completely different because they're using an array that they co-developed with a company called Light, out of California. And each of those cameras, as you say, are identical because all the information from all of the cameras is used to process every single shot. And the approach that Light uses promises a lot more dynamic range and hopefully better portrait shots. Not that I care about portrait shots too much, but apparently everyone else in the world does.
Yeah, well, you and I don't, but right, everyone else seems to. It's just so bizarre. Yeah. But 5 cameras on a phone, you begin to wonder if you're that serious about photography, maybe invest in a digital camera, you know, and do some unique things with it.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I see that pushback in the comments a lot, and I understand where it comes from, and you're right. A professional photographer is not anywhere close to giving up his or her DSLR or, you know, mirrorless or whatever, but there is just this unrivaled convenience in having everything in one package just being able to share directly from the phone. The Nokia 9 even has you can edit on device in Lightroom, and it has a custom lens profile made for the phone. So I haven't used it in the real world, but it should be interesting.
Oh, yeah. No question. One that we'd all like to get our hands on and find out is it worth having 5 cameras or otherwise, or even the Samsung with 3. But that makes sense, as you say. You want to have a telephoto or you want to have a wide angle, then, of course, you want to have 3 cameras. But I'm going to ask you, Michael, if you don't mind holding a couple of minutes, let us pay a couple of bills. We'll come back. I want to ask you about 5G, or is it now 6G? We want to talk about that, too. More from Mobile World Congress in Barcelona with our very own Michael Fisher, Mr. Mobile, youtube.com/TheMRMobile. We'll get you there, of course, when you hit us up at intotomorrow.com. We'll be right back as we continue bringing you further into tomorrow.
Attention. Do you have chronic back pain, knee pain, or arthritis? If you have Medicare or private insurance like Aetna, UnitedHealthcare, Humana, or Blue Cross, you may qualify for a safe, drug-free remedy for your everyday back and knee pain, but you must call now. You may be eligible for a pain-relieving back or knee brace at little or no cost to you. These pain relief braces are ideal for back pain, arthritis, sciatica, leg pain, knee pain, and other painful conditions that make life difficult. Our associates will work directly with Medicare or your insurance company for free. Your knee or back brace will be delivered directly to your door. Imagine playing with your grandkids or enjoying tennis or golf again. Call the National Knee and Back Brace Center to qualify for your Medicare or insurance-covered knee or back brace.
Call 800-674-9179. 800-674-9179. 800-674-9179.
Welcome back into Tomorrow. I'm Dave Graveline, intotomorrow.com for all sorts of information, posts constantly, lots of new things. We hope you check it all out. We're talking with Mr. Mobile, Michael Fisher, and as he continues to cover very cool things coming out of Barcelona and Mobile World Congress, we invite you to visit his site at youtube.com/TheMRMobile, the Mr. Mobile, and you're going to see some awesome reviews and fun stuff. I envy the things that you're able to get your hands on, and even though we've been doing a lot of the similar stuff in all these years, but you really are always in the thick of it, and you have so much fun doing your reviews that I can't help but not want to miss any of them. Let's talk about 5G. Certainly big buzz for years lately, but this particular Mobile World Congress, I think it's finally that reality that's sinking in.
Absolutely, it is. Yeah. And I have to, you know, it's such a complicated thing to discuss 5G because there's so much back and forth you can do, right? I mean, on one hand, you've got all of the hype. I mean, when it's 5G networks are deployed, you'll be able to download a whole season of, you know, Game of Thrones or Star Trek Discovery in less than a minute. You know, you'll be able to download entire collections of music while you're waiting for your airplane to taxi to the runway. So, you know, and it'll enable all kinds of new devices and connected street lamps and all that kind of stuff. On the other, you know, all these devices are great, and we're finally starting to see some of them roll out here at MWC. I've held a couple today, but they need the network to support them. And right now those networks are so nascent, at least in the United States, but actually globally, that, you know, you're not going to be able, by the time a network comes to you where you live, statistically speaking, you're very likely to have bought and sold two generations of these phones before that, you know, that happens, you know.
Yeah, we tend to relate it to when HD first came out, and it was great. Mm-hmm. And if you got an HD set that you spent a fortune on, there was three things you could watch on it, you know. The same sort of thing. So, I have a 5G phone, but I'm not on a 5G network because there isn't any. Yeah, and that's going to be the case, I'm sure, for quite some time, well into next year at least.
Absolutely. But, you know, and I remember that being the case with 4G, and I still will always remember the first time I downloaded an app on a really solid 4G connection in Boston. And it seemed like it took longer for my phone to install the app than it had to download it over the network.
Good
point. I remember that moment being just, I was like, oh, wow, this is going to change everything.
And in our remaining minute or so, what have I not asked you about that has jumped out at you so far after this first full day of Mobile World Congress?
Wow, I can't believe it's only been a day. I'll go back to, there's been a lot here, but I'll go back to that Huawei Mate X, this folding phone thing. I know we talked about folding phones on the whole, but just having something in my hand that goes from a one-handed smartphone that we're all familiar with, this monoblock tall rectangle, and with one flip of my hand becomes a tablet that feels actually a lot more like a Kindle because it's so light and so thin.
Cool.
But look, I understand the objections to the price and all that, and you know, who knows if I'll be able to recommend it once I use it in the real world, but just that experience convinces me that we're on the cusp of a brand new and very exciting time in smartphones. And I've been waiting to say that for a number of years, you know? It has been the same for a long time.
Excellent. And have they announced a recommended price, suggested price on the Mate X in U.S. dollars yet?
Yeah, totally. It's way more than the Galaxy Fold.
Oh, jeez. Like, the Galaxy Fold is $1,900. Oh, my God.
I'm sorry that I wasn't able to look it up in time, but it's higher than that, yeah.
Well, okay. If it's one of those things, if you have to ask, you can't afford it.
Right. But the beauty of being sold on carriers, though, is that, of course, you can finance it. But spread the pain out over many years.
I was going to say, financing a phone like that's going to be 10 or 12 years. And by that time, you know, look at all the ones that you wished you had. Anyway, but that's the excitement of this whole mobile world that we live in now. And we appreciate you spending a few minutes with us. And youtube.com/VMRmobile. And we'll get you there, too, when you visit us at intotomorrow.com. Michael Fisher, always a pleasure to chat with you.
Dave, thank you so much for having me. Let's do this more often.
No, by all means, there's so much more to cover, and we will continue to do just that. intotomorrow.com, and join us anytime at your leisure. 800-899-INTO. I'm Dave Graveline. We continue right here on the Advanced Media Network.
Atmos FX helps people create amazing home displays for holidays and celebrations with digital decorations featuring entertaining animated characters and atmospheric scenes. Atmos FX offers a variety of beautifully animated amusement park quality decorations that can be viewed on any TV or monitor, as well as projected on windows, walls, ceilings, and props. Decorate for Halloween, Christmas, Easter, New Year's Eve, and birthdays to have the coolest house in your neighborhood. Visit atmosfx.com.
Into Tomorrow continues. The first internet transmission was a typo. How about that? L-O-G was transmitted, but login was what was intended to be transmitted. Due to the large amount of data for the letter G, it crashed the network. Mm-hmm. Bringing you further into tomorrow, we are
Beth Gatrell and
Chris Graveline.
And I'm Dave Graveline, yeah.
And this portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you by the Dexcom G6 Continuous Glucose Monitoring System. Make knowledge your superpower for managing type 1 diabetes. Visit Dexcom.com. That's DEXCOM.com.
That was more like a Yoda thing, you know, bringing you further into tomorrow, we are. And then you thought, we are, I guess we have to identify ourselves. Dennis in Jackson County, Tennessee, listens on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. Hello, Dennis.
I'm a DS4 game player. I'm 56 years old, and I play all of Call of Duty. But I'm looking for some good wireless headsets that give me that surround sound.
Well, Dennis, depending on your budget, you'll certainly find a wide variety of gaming headsets. The first we should mention is Sony's own PlayStation Gold wireless gaming headset. It goes for about $75, which is relatively inexpensive in the gaming world.
If you have some extra money to spend, the SteelSeries Actis Pro is very well reviewed, and it has a price tag north of $300, but it can be found for less online. The one kind of the addict's choice, it features hot, swappable batteries that last about 10 hours each for when you need to game every waking hour.
Now, the Turtle Beach Air Force Stealth 600 is between the two at around $100, but you'll have to live with just 15 hours of uninterrupted gaming in one sitting.
Only 15 hours. Oh, my gosh. But, Dennis, I hope that helps you out. There's so many, and we're even going to see if we've got a pair in the prize closet. We'll try to get to you. IntoTomorrow.com for more.